We will turn to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8, and in verse 6 of the chapter, we discover that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It is not without good reason that 1 Peter 1 and verse 13 exhorts us to gird up the loins of our minds. In every age, there is a constant, a concerted attack on the minds of the people of God. There is a brainwashing, a manipulating, a conforming process at work in this world through television, radio, the press, and the target of them all is our minds. The world would have us adopt its mindset, have us think and conform to its squalid and corrupt ways. In Psalm 119 and verse 113, David said, "I hate vain thoughts." Those kind of thoughts were unwelcome guests as far as David was concerned. They were detected. They were evicted. Paul commends to us the spiritual mind. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is the goal, the ideal for the believer. Here is the will of God, not that we be carnally minded, worldly minded, but spiritually minded. May this be true of us more and more. May our minds be spiritually focused and motivated. Now, first of all, we will consider together in this text the aspiration of the spiritually minded. What does it mean to be spiritually minded? To mind is a phrase which we are very familiar with. If someone takes more than a passing interest in your private affairs and begins to probe deeply, you will in all likelihood say to the person, "Mind your own business. Look after your own affairs." The expression "to mind" is to focus your thoughts on a particular matter. But it is a wide, comprehensive term. It embraces the affections, the emotions, desires, and the objects pursued. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul draws our attention to those whom he calls the enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19. And he says of these enemies of the cross, their end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame. And then he adds, who mind earthly things. Here is one of the characteristics about these enemies of the cross. Their minds are set on earthly things. What is Paul saying about such? He's not saying they cast an occasional glance in this direction. He is saying that these are the things that dominate, that please them most, that give to them their greatest delight. Earthly things, they are seeking them most of all. Their minds are drawn, fixed, pulled in this direction. The verse 5 here in Romans chapter 8 It says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In this life, we must either sow to the flesh or the Spirit. They that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. We say that the bird is in its element in the air. The bird is in the air, and there is a sense in which the air is in the bird. Water is the element of the fish. The water is in the fish, and the fish is in the water. And so the soul born again of the Holy Spirit, this is its element, minding spiritual things. That is to say, minding the things of God. The Lord had to confront Peter when he tried to stand between him and the cross. In Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 23, the Lord said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." To be spiritually minded is to savor the things that be of God. To be spiritually minded is to desire spiritual things devoutly. The carnal mind is blinded by the vanities of the world. As far as the carnal mind is concerned, the person can see no form nor comeliness in the Savior that it should desire him. But to the spiritual mind, the Lord is everything. He is all in all. The bride in the Song of Solomon, she shows her devotion to the Lord in the Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 3. She says, "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons." She's thinking about the trees of the wood, and she can see the beauty of the apple tree. It excels them all. It's the most fruitful among them all. And so she says, "Is my beloved, my Savior, among the sons?" She says, "I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." It is so evident that Christ excels all the glories and the beauties of the world. There's none in her estimation so precious as the Lord is. Paul made the Lord his chief study. He said, "I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ." As far as Paul was concerned, there were none to compare with him. The apostle was devoted to him. And so can you and I say of the Lord Jesus, "He is my beloved. This is my beloved. And this is my friend." To be spiritually minded is to desire spiritual things devoutly. To be spiritually minded is to desire spiritual things supremely. The importance of other things is secondary. The spiritual mind, of course, will attend to family matters, will look after one's employment and earthly affairs, but the things of the Lord will come first. We think of how it was with servants in Israel. Back in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 5, we're given insight into servants in those times. Exodus chapter 21, when the servant had completed 7 years, he was free to walk away from his servitude. But if the master was kind and benevolent and so good to him, the servant could determine to remain in his service. So in Exodus 21 and verse 5, if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Do you see how he puts it? I love my master. The order is important. The master has the very first place, even before his wife and his children. And the Lord is our master. And we should be devoted to him supremely. Joseph and Mary, they took the Lord with them to the temple to attend the Passover when he was 12 years of age. And when the time came to make the return journey, they discovered that the Lord was not with them. He was among the learned doctors, both hearing and asking them questions. And Mary spoke to him in Luke chapter 2 and the verse 48. When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And verse 49, we have the Lord's response. How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Literally, I must be in the things of my father. Can't you see how the Lord's mind was set supremely on the things of his father? The Lord could say, I delight to do thy will, O God. Oh, may you and I seek first the kingdom of God. May the Lord have the first place in our affection and in all of our ways. To be spiritually minded is to desire spiritual things continually. It's not an uncommon thing for the carnal mind to be momentarily moved, impressed by eternal realities. But as the early dew of the morning, those impressions soon pass. We have the occasion in Matthew chapter 21 when the Lord rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. Matthew 21 and verse 9, we discover that the multitudes that went before and that followed, they cried saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. There were these high-sounding praises. But soon their cry will be very different. Soon their cry will be, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Many who were in the wider circle of the Lord's disciples, they said in John 6 and verse 34, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." But we also discover in John 6 and verse 66 that many among that number quickly deserted him. The Bible says they walked no more with him. As for David, in Psalm 16 and verse 8, he said, "I have set the Lord always, always before me." He set the Lord before his eyes. And we can see the outworking of that in Psalm 55 and the verse 17. Psalm 55 and verse 17, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Spiritually minded, David's heart was continually seeking the Lord, continually with the Lord. Oh, let us aspire to be spiritually minded, having the things of God in their proper place. And the very first verse in the Bible gives the key. In the beginning, God. May we give the Lord the primary place in our daily lives. The aspiration of the spiritual mind. But secondly, let us consider together the attaining of the spiritual mind. David said concerning the building of the temple, "The work is great." And when it comes to the attaining of the spiritual mind, the same is true. The work is great. It can be attained by walking with God. We know that the age in which Noah lived was most corrupt. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. But that did not deter Noah from walking with God. Walk with a person and you get acquainted with them. When courting the girl who became my wife, we did a lot of walking to meetings in the city of Belfast. We had no wheels in those days, no car, so necessity demanded that we had to walk. And as we walked together, I got to know her, and she thought that she knew quite a lot about me. Walking together, it improves one's acquaintance. And Noah walked with God, and God brought him into his secrets concerning the flood and the building of the ark. Noah had the mind of God as he walked with him. Oh, imagine the opposition, the persecution, the sneers that he had to face as he added timber to timber and as he faithfully served the Lord. He preached all of those 120 years with little fruit. He endured, for he was close to God. He was in step with him. He had the mind of God, having walked with him. We attain it by walking with God. We attain it by the Word of God. In the pages of Holy Writ, We have the divine mind revealed. We understand through the scriptures what the purpose and the will of God is for our lives. When Paul preached the word at Ephesus, many that used curious arts, they brought their books and they burned them in a public bonfire. These people converted through God's word. They became spiritually minded. The word enlightened, it directed, it molded their thoughts and ways. It separated them from the ways of Satan to the Lord's ways. The Puritans said, "You're only as spiritual as you are scriptural." The Word of God, it has power to set our lives apart. Paul prayed for those believers in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 1, he received a good report from Epaphras, their faithful minister. And he prays in verses 9 and 10, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his wisdom, of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Oh, may we be constantly in the Word, meditating in the law of the Lord day and night, and then through its light and instruction, we will know more and more the mind of God, even in these confusing times. Furthermore, it's attained by waiting on the Lord, both in public and private. Jacob, when he was left alone, he wrestled with God. He determined he would not let God go without the blessing. While he sought the Lord alone, God touched the hollow of his thigh, with the result that Jacob's walk was never, ever the same again. We must not forsake the closet. May we do business with God in that secret place. It's a vital part of gaining the spiritual mind. It's only as we wait on the Lord that we can mount up with wings as eagles into the heavenlies. It was when the church prayed in the public prayer meeting on the day of Pentecost, when there was united prayer, a laying hold of God as one man, it was then that the Spirit was poured out without measure, and souls were daily added to the church. Oh, the spiritual mind has passed a vote of no confidence in the flesh. The Lord is its helper, and it must wait on him who is the strength of his people. We think of the psalmist in Psalm 40 and the closing words of that psalm, the verse 17. Psalm 40 and verse 17. "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my helper and deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." He was waiting on the Lord, looking to the Lord. And this mind is attained by watchfulness, watching for souls. We are our brother's keeper. We have been saved to pull others out of the fire. May we carry with us an abiding burden for others that we meet with in the course of our daily duties. May we watch for those troubled and anxious. Watch for those who have never a thought about eternity. Be a signpost warning them of their danger out of Christ. And watch for the second coming. Be as those who wait for the Lord from heaven. R.A. Torrey, he said, the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ is the great Bible argument for a pure, unselfish, devoted, unworldly, active life of service. Oh, may our lamps be trimmed, burning brightly, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we see the advantage of the spiritual mind. The verse 6 says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It is to have life indeed, life more abundant. The Lord is our life, and we must live feeding on him. John 6 and the verse 57, it has this to say, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, or feedeth on me, even he shall live by me. The bride in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 7, she said, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Her quest was to daily feed on the one who was her life. Daily feeding on Christ, the Lord who is our life, is also our peace. In Isaiah chapter 26 and the verse 12, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. He has brought true and lasting peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. He has brought it to our hearts. The first verses of Isaiah 26, the verses 3 and 4, explain that the Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusteth in him. The emphasis is on the peace that the Lord gives, perfect peace, peace, peace in a troubled world. In Psalm 37 and verse 37, Psalmist, he says, Psalm 37 and verse 37, mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The Lord is our life, and he is our peace. And this is what society craves today. So many in society are craving life, and they are seeking peace where neither life nor peace can be found. Have you spiritual life? Have you the peace of the gospel? Have you the experience of peace with God through the blood of the cross? Way back in 1631, Robert Bruce, the Covenanter, he was sentenced to death. And on the morning of his execution, he requested of his daughter, "Cook me an egg for breakfast." And it was so tasty that he almost asked his daughter for a second one. But he paused and he said to his daughter, "I have had breakfast with you this morning. I'll have supper with Christ tonight." He was a spiritual man. He knew how to live, and he knew how to die. It's well with the righteous, both in life and in death. Oh, I pray that it will be well with your soul. Proverbs 3 and verse 17, speaking of wisdom's ways, the godly ways, it reads, "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." It's well with the spiritual mind, with the spiritual heart. Oh, may we all seek to aspire after it, to attain the spiritual mind. In every way, it's advantageous. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And may, if you're not a Christian, may you altogether be altogether persuaded to be a Christian. Let us bow together, please, in prayer. Our loving Father, how we praise Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for its instruction, for its admonitions, and we pray that Thou wilt help us more and more, Lord, to have Thy mind, to have the mind, the affection that is set on things above and not on things of earth. Stayed upon Jehovah, one finds perfect peace and rest. Oh, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt help us to aspire to seek first Thy kingdom. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And Thou hast said that all that do so shall be filled. May we turn more and more from this vain, empty world, more and more to Thee, the one whose ways are pleasantness and peace. So bless Thy word, and write it upon our hearts, and part us in Thy fear, and with Thy blessing, we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.